Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
There's the three. You know it. Splashes in for Lillard from the left wing. Dame's hit four threes in the third quarter alone.
Bucks talk starts now.
Resounding victory tonight here in Toronto for the Bucks. Snap out of their two-game skid from the homestand.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Well, this game tonight was everything you were looking for and everything that you had been looking for in the previous few games, but a couple of notable things stood out about this win, especially offensively for the Bucks. We'll dig into that over the course of the next hour. Also, I mentioned the schedule that awaits the Bucks. You have, I suppose you could say, a marquee matchup with the way that Victor Wembanyama has been playing so far this season, so certainly a lot of intrigue to see Victor Wembanyama for the first time this season. And I don't believe he was active for the game in Milwaukee last year. There was, of course, an incredible one-on-one showdown between he and Giannis in San Antonio. But this is going to be the first chance for a lot of Bucks fans to not only see him, but certainly see him up close. And then some big ones to cap the week against the Magic and the New York Knicks, who, we talked about this last week, were seemingly starting to find their footing, but now we've seen a couple of losses pile up for the Knicks. So as we've mentioned time and time again, just win games. Take care of business, and it's out there for you to start to push for the fourth spot, the third spot. I don't think one and two are on the table, but especially those games, as we've mentioned a number of times as well. You're 0-6 against the Celtics and Cavs. Best case scenario is you go 1-6. That's out the window. But you've beaten the Magic the only time you played them. You've only played the Knicks once. You lost that game. That was right before this team really started to look like a different group. So all the remaining games against New York and Orlando are very important, and you got three of them coming up in the next 10 or so days. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, and I suppose the only fly in the ointment tonight was that Giannis's streak of what was a 27 straight games of 20 or more points and 50% shooting comes to an end.
Yeah, tonight, Justin, though, just what the doctor ordered for this Bucks team, man. Dropping back-to-back games at home to sub-500 teams. Tough pill to swallow last week, Thursday, and Saturday. Tonight, really right from the start, a couple minutes into this one, they kind of just took over. And with that being said, I'm going to do something I haven't necessarily done on Bucks Talk. And the game ball is going to be a little bit different tonight. Damian Lillard had 25 points. Bobby had 20 off the bench. Gary Trent Jr. had 17 off the bench. You mentioned Giannis, the streak breaking. He did have a triple-double, though. Brooke Lopez sinking his 1,000th three of his remarkable career. And tonight, Justin, for the first time, I haven't done this yet. It might happen again. But the entire Bucks team tonight is getting the game ball just like they did with the 37 assists that they had tonight as a team. They'll have to share this Bucks Talk game ball, but a much, much needed win for this squad. It was encouraging to see a lot of different things. The energy defensively was fantastic. Again, I mentioned the 37 assists. They moved the ball. Unselfish basketball, energetic from the tip on both ends of the floor. As a fan, I got to be honest with you, it was kind of nice tonight to sit back after the few games that we had, after the Packers loss we endured on Sunday, to kind of sit back, especially in that third quarter where Damian Lillard was going off, to enjoy some stress-free basketball and see a W in the column. It had been a little bit. I think the Bucks' last win was New Year's Eve, if I'm not mistaken, against the Pacers. 63 bench points tonight, man. I don't know if that's the most this year. It feels like it's got to be. But shout out to the entire team tonight. Just absolutely well done. I was really encouraged to see the focus and determination tonight, Justin. Just felt way different. The intensity was palpable through the television broadcast. You could tell that tonight they were a team on a mission. And it took care of business. And that's what we wanted to see. And I was encouraged to see that tonight from everybody. I got to shout out Ryan Rollins. That's my other guy, too. He had a great game tonight. Hopefully, Giannis's finger, hand, or whatnot is okay. It was good. Got a win with Chris Middleton, you know, resting his ankle. So I have nothing to complain about tonight. I don't know if anybody does. You know, I guess you could look at the turnovers and I guess if you want to nitpick, but I'm not going to. I'm going to choose not to do that tonight. I thought tonight was an awesome game, a fun game to be a part of to watch, and just shout out to the team. A great bounce back win.
60 was their previous high for bench scoring, okay, which was against the Nets.
Yeah, 63 felt high. That's got to be pretty close.
And the assists is a season high as well. Their previous high there was 35 in the win against the Wizards, where they played without Giannis and Damian Lillard. So a lot of team highs tonight. They were 50% shooting on threes in each half. And, you know, you go back to the loss, albeit disappointing, but the loss last time we were out here against the Portland Trail Blazers, where we said, look, I don't mean to completely distill it to this, but a lot of times it is as simple as it's a make or miss league, and the Bucks just didn't make shots against the Blazers. They were making shots all night tonight against the Raptors. That they were 12 of 24 at halftime on their threes. They were 10 of 20 in the second half on threes, so they finished 50% shooting on threes in each of the two halves in the game as a whole. And I mean, look, you had Giannis and Damian Lillard, and Giannis facilitating 10 assists in the first half, the second time in his career he's ever had a 10-assist half. But Damian Lillard just went full takeover mode in that third quarter. And again, the Raptors hit 1-3 in the first half, and you're up to 12. So you're just not going to win games when you're losing that math battle there. And the Raptors won a couple of areas, as you mentioned. They outscored the Bucks in the paint. Again, that's offset by the fact that the Bucks outscored them by 39 on threes. And same with some of the other numbers, where the Raptors did ultimately pull in front of the Bucks, offensive rebounds and points off of those, the turnovers. A lot of that came late, midway through the third quarter and afterwards, that it's something you say, okay, we'd rather not have that, but I'll choose to look at really the first 30 minutes of this game.
Yeah, and I don't think like I'm breaking any news here too, Justin, but I think this team and teams of the past have been so much better offensively, and you kind of mentioned like they got to start creeping up into that top 10, top 5 range, and I think everybody would agree with that, and I think they will and can, especially when you have 13 assists from Giannis. Like, I think this team is at its best when he's facilitating the basketball. I've mentioned I like the offense to run through Dame. I mean, both things can still remain true, and I want to give a quick shout out. I know he only finished with 8 points, and I know he was only 3 of 7 tonight. 2 of 5 from three, but Taurean Prince looked a lot better tonight. And I know people are going to be like, oh, he had 8 points. I know. But for a guy that's kind of struggled over the last month, like tonight felt like a little bit more of what we saw at the beginning of the year. Now, obviously, you know, eight points, you know, you want to hit the volume of shots to increase, but he was inserted into that starting lineup with no Chris Middleton. You and I had addressed Saturday, could that be maybe a direction eventually that they look at? Doc Rivers had mentioned it. So obviously that's not to be determined yet because Chris Middleton wasn't part of the game tonight. But I thought Prince just looked more natural tonight. Like he wasn't pressing. He was letting the game come to him. He was hitting the catch and shoot threes in the corner. So I don't have anything to really be upset about tonight. Again, you did exactly what we needed them to do. They did exactly what they needed to do. And that was get a win and kind of bounce back following those two losses. And I feel like this is something, Justin, I've probably said every week, but like tough losses back-to-back at home against Brooklyn and Portland. Okay, a great bounce back win. And now it's like, now you're up for another tough test with San Antonio on Wednesday. Like this team just, you know, tough test after tough test. We'll see if they have a full squad on Wednesday, but it's going to be a good one come Wednesday. But one that I'm excited again to see for this team, to kind of see where they're at following a rough start to the new year, but having a great, fantastic performance tonight in Toronto.
The 128 score tonight is the second highest scoring total for the Bucks this season. And if we look at the 10 highest scoring games we've seen from this team, in those 10 games, Giannis has 4 30-point games, 2 40-point games, and a 50-point game. He has 220, I think 25 and 28, and then tonight with 11, which I think tonight is more important because it's not just, okay, Giannis is dominant and this team's going to score a lot of points when it happens. We saw this in stretches last year, and especially, ironically enough, against Toronto when the Bucks had one of their best offensive games of the season. Early in the year last year when Giannis missed the game, Damian Lillard was not fully clicking with him yet, and when Giannis missed it, we saw Dame just take over, and the Bucks were canning threes. He had one of his better games of the season and talked about, I got to be the Dame from Portland again and kind of get into that comfort zone. So it's important, I think, for this team to be more than just, well, Giannis is going to score 30 points and we hope to get something from Dame, to find other ways to be a productive offense, as we've talked about the need for it to be a top 10 unit, to find other ways to be an efficient offense as a team on a game where Giannis scores 11 points.
Yeah, and that's a great point, too. And you could even look at, too, for Damian Lillard, Justin, to piggyback off of your point, like, he didn't go crazy either. I know he had that big third quarter, but 25 points is about standard of what you're going to get out of Damian Lillard. It's not like Giannis had 11 and Damian Lillard went off for 40 or 45. Like, the way that – and this is the frustrating part on last week, you know, against those two games where I thought they should have won, was, like, this team can win in many different ways. And I think I've said that – you know, a handful of times this season, like, and so when it doesn't happen, or you get a good game from Giannis where he's got 27 or 30 points, but you see the team lose because nobody else scored over 10, you know, those are the frustrating losses. Now it's inevitable. Those are going to happen. You know, they're not perfect, but I think this is a dangerous team. And I know Saturday I was upset after the Bucks dropped that game to Portland because that just wasn't the team that I've been watching since November 12th, where they're 16-8 over that stretch. You know, they've doubled their wins versus losses in that stretch. So losing a couple of those games over the course of the last 10 days or so has been frustrating. But tonight was a perfect example. And look, it's Toronto. They're 8-28. They've 7-13 home record. Like, they're not world beaters. But the Bucks haven't been fantastic on the road either. They're just 7-9 on the road. So for them to kind of pull up tonight and have that urgency that I felt early on, I thought that spoke volumes on where this team kind of looked themselves in the mirror. Damian Lillard at his locker on Saturday after that turnover late against the Portland Trailblazers, he took ownership of his performance in that game. So shout out for that. I mean, it's a veteran-led team with championship aspirations. Tonight was a perfect example of them looking themselves in the mirror before this game and getting to business, and that's exactly what they did. So it was fun to watch.
855-616-1620, the number to reach us tonight on Bucks Talk. A 24-point win in Toronto. Bucks take care of the Raptors, 128-104. More after this. 128-104, the final tonight. Bucks take care of the Raptors. An impressive win on a night where Giannis only scored 11 points. Damian Lillard, 15 of his 25 came in the third quarter where he did not miss a shot. And you had a stretch of eight straight games against teams with a sub-500 record. Unfortunately, you only go 4-4, but this was a much-needed win after the previous two losses to the Portland Trailblazers and the Nets, especially as it hopefully gives you some momentum going into a pretty big week here, not just to close out this week that we're in, but everything that's waiting for the Bucks after, essentially. You still have a couple of those types of games to close out the month where you have the Blazers once more. You have the Utah Jazz on the schedule. I believe there's one other team below 500 that you still have in January, but we've mentioned this a couple of times. Once you get into February, starting February 1st, you have 35 games remaining. 32 of them are against teams that are either currently in the playoffs or expect to be a playoff team. So what I mean by that, you get two games with the Phoenix Suns. They're not in the mix right now, but Phoenix expects to be a playoff team. They're currently below 500. I don't think that's going to last, but those are the types of games the Bucks have on their schedule. I mean, to start February, home against the Grizzlies, who by the numbers have arguably been the third best team in the league this year, on the road in OKC. second week, you have home games against the Sixers and the Warriors. You have the Timberwolves on the road before the All-Star break. You still have another West Coast trip, aside from the one that you have in late January. So that schedule really picks up once you get into February, which made this game tonight even more critical, that you got so few of those games. Pelicans, Blazers, Jazz, and I believe the Kings are still technically one of those teams below 500, but they've been playing much better lately. That's it for your games in January against these losing teams. Now, I suppose if you choose to be the optimist and say the glass is half full, Doc talked about this tonight before the game, and I was asked about his team's focus, and that word had kind of come up quite a bit in recent games and recent scrums and post-game sessions. And, you know, as Doc said, it's not really anything new for us. I noticed that last year we always played up. And maybe it's because these guys won a title. You know, I didn't really dig too deep into it. I don't know why that is. For whatever reason, we play up. He's not saying we play to the level of the competition, but I think you could certainly make a case when you drop back-to-back games against the Nets and the Blazers. And, you know, Doc's big point on it was, you know, I have had some of those discussions where we're watching film or we're going over things, and the message to the guys is kind of like, you know, come on. You would never do this against Boston, so why are we doing it against these teams? And that is probably going to be the biggest thing these last, what, two-plus months of the season is consistency, and can that team find this? Because as I said, if you want to beat glass half full and say, well, they play a level up, all right, well, as we just mentioned, 30 plus games are going to be against those teams, so you're saving your best for those types of teams. Great, you're in a good spot, but you just like to see consistency, because look, it's all well and good to beat the good teams. I mean, that win against the Oklahoma City Thunder, who, by the way, have still yet to lose since that loss and are on a 15-game win streak with an asterisk. Those are important wins because I think it shows you what's in the tank and what the ceiling can be for this team. But good teams beat bad teams. You know, so the Bucks dominated that the first 2 years of Bud. When you think about, they beat good teams, but when the Bucks were expected to win, they won those games. And that is the mark of a good team. And that's something that's evaded this team, not just this year and last year. Like, it's been 2 years plus now.
Yeah, and I think everybody's saying the right thing, though, Justin. And I wouldn't expect them not to, but I think it's encouraging. Like, after the game, I believe it was the game against Brooklyn, Giannis had said it's us, it's, you know, the players, we got to kind of, you know, re-energize ourselves, you know, following the NBA Cup, you know, victory, and kind of get focused and geared up for another part of the season, which is something I think teams are still trying to get used to. I know we had talked about the Lakers record after the NBA Cup, and we had talked about the Pacers in the month of January following that NBA Cup. It's obviously way too early to determine if that has any effect on anybody or any teams. Obviously, the last two have struggled a bit. I will put an asterisk next to the Bucks because they haven't been healthy. Giannis missed pretty much almost every game after the NBA Cup. Damian Lillard missed a handful of games with that illness that was going around and the calf injury. So I'll give the Bucks a little bit of a break in that regards, because if you're not going to be healthy, I don't think it's fair to grade you on the same level. Now, dropping two games of Brooklyn in 8 days, and Chicago and in Portland in all of that, you know, I think more times than not, the Bucks come out on the other side of that. But it's good to have a head coach, man, that doesn't have an ego. Like, and I'm not saying Adrian Griffin did. I'm not saying Bud did. I'm not saying that at all. It's just good to have a coach that's going to not afraid to tell you that your performance isn't up to standards. And it's also, on the flip side of that, great feeling to have players like Damian Lillard, after he, you know, kind of messed up the end of that Portland game with that turnover, to identify, like, hey, I screwed up. Like, they pay me $48 million. that's on me. You know, that isn't on anybody. Like, that's a mark to me of a team that's obviously a veteran-led organization that has won a championship. There are championship players on this roster still, Giannis being one of them, you know, that know, you know, coach can only do so much. Like, Doc can only do so much. Words can only do so much. I tell my kids that all the time. Like, I can't force you to go out and be better. Like, I can help you. I can lead you to water, but I can't force you to drink. So it's good to have I think both things are great. I think it's a formula. Again, I said it on Saturday. This team has the answers to the test, Justin. I firmly believe that. I know Boston is really good. You know, they just lost to Oklahoma City, though, a team that the Bucks just beat a few weeks ago. I know Cleveland is very good. They've been together now for a few years. Like, Evan Mobley looks like a different player than years past. Like, they're a really good team. I still firmly believe, whether it's a homer take or not, that this team, this Milwaukee Bucks team, you hope that Chris Middleton comes back and he's okay, and that's just a precautionary thing, that they have the answers to that championship test. I believe it. I believe it because tonight was an example of the things that I have been and you and I have been talking about kind of all year. They can beat you in many different ways. Not many teams. Now, there's a few where their best player has 11 points and they win by 24. I don't care who you play. It's still the NBA. Like, teams, Toronto still has talented players and players that have given Bucks fits. So they have the making of a team that can make a deep run. And I firmly believe that. And I think they're slowly getting those pieces put into place. Again, I mentioned it when I gave out the game ball to the whole Bucks team, which they just texted me, the group chat, that they were very happy about that. So shout out to them for hitting me up. But I feel like they have the answers come, you know, playoff time to pass that test. And I really believe that. I think it starts, you and I have talked about the coaching staff from top to bottom. John Horst has never been afraid to make his team better. Right or wrong, he's always out looking out for his team. And you have a guy that's been there, done that. You have multiple guys that's been there, done that. But you have Giannis, who's been the catalyst for that championship team in 21, who knows what it takes to win. So, again, Saturday was a frustrating moment. But I think I do think that it's an opportunity for this team to kind of refocus, I guess, if that's the word of the day, to kind of get their focus pinned back to what the ultimate goal was. It was great to win the NBA Cup, but this team, and I know it because they've talked about it, has higher expectations.
Not a wire-to-wire win for the Bucks because the Raptors did lead early, but this is a game they were basically in control for 44, 45 minutes of the game. As we said, this was exactly what you were looking for in the spot that the Bucks were in because of the schedule that waits for you after this game tonight. So I do want to take a closer look at that schedule. And, look, there's been a lot of rumblings these last couple days, and I know there's been some more sourced reports that have started to come out. So I do want to level set on cap minutia and where the Bucks are at in terms of the salary cap. You've heard things like the second apron, aprons, luxury tax, and everything else. So what does this mean for the Bucks? Because I believe we are now 1 month away to the day from the trade deadline. So we'll also dig into that coming up after this. All right, we're still too early to pay much attention to the standings, but you can at least keep an eye on it because what you want right now is don't let things slip away. I mentioned before, I would assume you agree with this, Brandon. The 1 and 2 seeds are probably out the window for the
Bucks. I agree with you.
You are 6 games back of the Celtics in the loss column, but you lost the tiebreaker by way of the head-to-head series. So your best-case scenario is to finish with the third-best record in the East. And again, you can't like constantly look at the standings and, well, we're X games back right now on January 6th and January 13th. But you can keep an eye to make sure that margin, like you're tied in the loss column with the Magic. You're 3 games back in the loss column of the Knicks. You can at least keep an eye on it and say, okay, let's make sure these numbers at least stay where they are. Ideally, we could shave a game or two of those off by the time we get to the All-Star break, where then it's up for discussion of, hey, last third of the season coming out of the break, where are you at? Is the 3 seed a realistic opportunity? And I say all this to also point out, I don't know what seed line is important for the Bucks. You know, you're the three seed. I guess number one, first and foremost, the ultimate caveat for a team that has lost in the first round 2 years in a row is you got to get out of the first round first.
Yeah.
But if you do that, you're three seed. Okay, you get the Celtics in all likelihood in the second round. Four seed, you're going to play the Magic or the Knicks. So you're going to have to beat these teams top to bottom. There is no, well, if you can get the, you know, this seed, you can avoid these teams. It's not possible when you're in the spot that the Bucks are in. And as we, you know, just mentioned before, for whatever reason, this team plays better when they're playing a level up. But we've done this so many years where we talk about don't finish lower than third. Maybe the two seed is better than the one seed and all these things. And the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter. Like, you're in a spot where you're probably going to have to win a majority of your games on the road. Not probably. You are going to have to win a majority of your games on the road. But it's all matchup dependent. And most importantly, it is how are you playing once you get into March and April and going into the playoffs? Are you healthy? And these little issues that we've talked about, the Bucks losing to sub 500 teams, having issues where they turn the ball over too much, not rebounding, all these other little things that have popped up, have you at least course corrected those or cleaned them up in a big way? That's the more important part than, you know, worrying over can they get up to three? Can they be the four seed? What if they're the five seed? If they're the five seed and they are totally healthy and we feel good about the way they were playing the last 3 weeks of the season, I'm fine with that.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree with you. And I think I've said this, again, a few other times too, Justin, and I think you did as well. Like, you're not going to get one or two. I think we can put that to bed. And personally, I guess, I don't know if this puts me in the minority or the majority. I don't care where they land. I just want a fair shot in the playoffs this year. I want Giannis to not go down with a back injury like he did in Miami, as Kevin Love was afraid to play defense and stood in front of him. I want an opportunity where. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, what if I told you right now, I will give you the seven seed, but you are completely healthy going into the playoffs. Nobody's
and
hurt. Everybody's available. You're the seven seed. In theory, you won your matchup, so you are locked in as the seven seed. Or do you want to roll the dice and just say, we'll see what else we can do?
It's going to sound like a bit of a cop-out, but I would, man, because we just haven't had a fair – and I don't want to mean like somebody took it away from us. It's
I mean, you haven't been able to play with – you're built around Giannis and Dame and Giannis and Chris Middleton in the past. Like, you haven't had that at your disposal for three straight years.
So and that's where I'm at. Like, and here's where I'm at. Then this is why I kind of feel this way too, Justin. And so, yes, my answer – to your great question is yes, I would take that. I would, because when we traded for Dame, right, we had these expectations, at least I did. I can't speak for everybody. Like, holy cow, we're gonna get back to the NBA Finals. I don't know if we'll win, but we're gonna definitely have an opportunity to get back to the NBA Finals. We can't say that yet because we haven't seen them together when it matters most. So if they go in as the seventh seed and you tell me everybody's good to go, you know, Chris Middleton has shaken off, you know, anything that happened.
Chris is,
you know,
up to 30 plus minutes.
Correct.
Dame is healthy. Yeah, yeah. Giannis is healthy.
Bobby, Brooke, like healthy. Everybody's good to go. I will take it. Now, in the return, if the Bucks lose in, let's say, 5, 6, 7 games, I will take that on the chin and be like, all right.
I guess that's what I wanted to see.
Yeah. That's what I want to see, because you and I and all Bucks fans alike have not been able to say, you know, well, we just got beat. We weren't the better team. You took Indiana to 6 games last year, and Chris Middleton literally put the team on his back, you know, and it made it a somewhat of a series, although it never really felt like it was going to get too close. But it was still, at the end of the year, we're walking away like, yeah, but if we had Dame or if we had Giannis the year before that, oh, if we had Giannis, you know, like, I just want to put that to bed. And at the end of the day, if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. But at least we can say that we were healthy, we were there. And again, at that point of the year, it's rare that everybody's 100% and you know, you play 82 games throughout the course of the year and whatnot. But You could even go back to 2021, man. I mean, if you really want to, I know they won the championship, but we all thought Giannis's knee was destroyed in that Atlanta series. So it's been an Achilles heel, no pun intended, I guess. But like, I just want to see them go into the postseason with their stars ready to rock. And if they lose as the seventh seed to Boston or Cleveland, then I tip my cap to Boston or Cleveland and we move on. But at least during the Dame and the Giannis and the Chris era, we can at least say for 1 year they were all there and they all played, and I can live with whatever result that is.
That's large picture, that's where I'm at too. I'm still, I guess by way of that, I would agree and say, fine, I'll take it if you tell me this team is healthy, because we talked coming into the season that this was going to be the last dance gets overused, but you knew this team is not going to look the same next year, and no team ever does. There's always some guys leave. There's minor tinkering. You add in draft picks and so on, but the way that contracts were structured, the age of this group, this is the last run together with this group. So if for no other reason than that, that's why I would really lean towards, yes, I'll take that scenario, because you just have to know, does this work? Like, at the highest level, the team that we've constructed that we think can compete for a championship, we mentioned, you didn't get to see last year with Dame missing two of the six games. Giannis missed all six of them. The year prior to that, Giannis missed, a game and a half of that series against the Heat, but was...
But he might not have ever been healthy either after that. But
not,
yeah, you're
clearly
right.
Not the same. Yeah, the year prior to that, you didn't have Chris Middleton in the series against the Boston Celtics. So it's been three straight years that, and I suppose you could point out too, Dante DiVincenzo went down in game three against the Heat in the first round, the year you won the championship. So it's been something year after year after year. So you need that to get your answer, to know, were we just chasing something that wasn't there and this doesn't work? We'll never know, or at least I should say we'll never know. We haven't gotten that answer yet because you haven't had that group healthy. So that, to me, is we just got to see. Does this work like we envision it to work? And if not, then we have our answer of where you go forward with this team coming into a pivotal offseason. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I do want to take a look at this week's schedule, because it's packed with a lot of intrigue, and I mentioned the story that's starting to trickle, or reporting that's starting to trickle, so I do want to take a look at some of the CBA things to point out, as I'm sure everybody is running to the trade machine and trying to figure out how do we put this together, what does the second apron mean, so we'll do a little bit of an FAQ on that coming up after this. So this week, you have three games remaining. Wednesday night, 8:30 tip-off. Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee.
8:30 tip-off for Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs. Friday night in Orlando against the Magic. Magic, by the way, beat the Knicks tonight in a game the Magic played without their top four leading scorers. Like, this is what they do, is the Rockets, to a lesser extent, are pretty similar, but Orlando especially, you look at their roster, you look at their players that are available, and if you're the opponent, you say, okay, how are you going to score? And you get a minute or so into the game, and the Magic are saying, how do you think you're going to score? Like, that's how their defense plays. But they won tonight without their top four leading scorers, beating the Knicks. And then you have the Knicks on Sunday afternoon going up against a pretty big other event that's going to be taking place in this state. So of those three games, which one is the biggest or most important to you?
That's a great question. I kind of feel like a little bit of a cop out here, but I'm going to go with San Antonio. I'm going to go as the next game, and it's not because it's a cliche answer, because I want to see what carries over from tonight's matchup. I want to see how this team kind of bounces back. Again, a home matchup, a later tip-off time for the Bucks at home. I'm curious about that,
it's a national game.
Absolutely. So, but I'm just curious to see how they respond to that as a later tip-off at home, which is kind of rare. But for me, it's, okay, you went 1-4 in your last five games before tonight. You know, we talked about the Brooklyn losses in Chicago and obviously Portland on Saturday, but you had probably the best performance you could have had following a 1-4 over your last five tonight against Toronto with the 128-104 win when Giannis only scored 11 points, as you pointed out, and everybody else kind of stepped in and you got a season high off the bench and a season high on the assist tally. So I want to see if that carries over. I want to see if they're able to kind of carry that. And I say that game because it's a home game. Justin, it's a home game. I think the energy in the arena is going to be buzzing. A lot of people are going to be there to see a guy that they haven't seen yet in Victor Wembanyama. The games of Orlando and New York are both on the road. Both are going to be extremely tough. But I think San Antonio is kind of a checkmark game for me to see where this team is. You know, you get two games above 500 now. You're at 18-16. But it's not going to be an easy one. But it's a game where you did a lot of good things tonight. You'd like to fix the turnovers. I think I mentioned that earlier. But going into an uncommon opponent in the San Antonio Spurs, I'm excited to see. I mean, first off, Giannis and versus Wemby is like must-see TV. So, you know, that's always going to probably get the national game, at least for the next handful of years. But I think it's a big one. It's a big one. I'm curious to see how they bounce back following that win tonight and see if they can kind of carry a little bit of that energy into that game. The game tonight, the team that we watched tonight was a completely different team, really, since I guess you can go back to – I know they won on – New Year's Eve, but they were down by 19 points in that Pacer game. It felt like a different team tonight over the last week or so. So I'm hoping that's the team we see against San Antonio, and that's the one I'm looking forward to most, because it's also a player that I don't want to say he's unguardable, because I know Giannis blocked him last year and he blocked Giannis and they went back and forth, but it's also somebody that we don't see a whole lot. So I think that's the one I would go is San Antonio, Justin.
I think that's the game I'm most looking forward to, but I would say the Knicks game is the most important, because that if we agreed that that's kind of the ceiling. They're currently third. You're not getting to one or two, and you lost the only other game you played against the Knicks, and that was an ugly game in New York. You need to... I mean, first and foremost, you have to see a much better performance than what you saw in that game. But these games are important because, you know, we said earlier in the year, I don't know what it means that you're 0-6 against the Celtics and the Cavs. I know it means something. I'm not sure what it means yet. And I think it'd be easy to look at and say, well, it means you're not good enough if you're 0-6 against those teams. I do think there's a lot that went into it. It was, what, three of those games were played at the tail end or just coming out of that 2-8 start. This team was not playing well. They started to play much better. Yeah, they lost the first two games to the Cavs by 3 points total. The third game that they played and lost to the Cavs was a game that I think we all felt like, I don't know about this. You weren't fully healthy. It was coming out of the NBA Cup. So there's a lot that went into those games. I would have loved for those games to have been staggered more throughout the season and had a better look at the Cavs and the Celtics later on in the season as you're starting to develop these habits and play much better. But that's not the way the schedule broke. So those six games are gone. There's no getting them back. You now have to shift to the remaining games against the Knicks and the Magic. And, you know, I don't want to diminish what Orlando is doing, but they just continue to win with no offense. I have a lot of questions about Orlando as a postseason team with that offense, with the fact that we still haven't seen Paolo Banchero come back. Mo Wagner's out for the year. Franz Wagner hasn't come back yet. So I think they carry a lot of questions with them on that end of the floor. The Knicks don't have quite as many of those questions. We talked about it earlier in the year that, hey, this defense hasn't been as expected. Mikal Bridges hasn't been the guy that you expect to acquire in that trade. And since we said that, both of those things have started to turn around, where the Knicks have one of the best offenses in the league and a defense that's starting to get better. So to me, those tests against the Celtics and Cavs are gone. You still have tests with the Knicks, and this is a big game to see. We feel like we're in a better spot. How does this stack up against a team that has been consistently playing pretty well for the last month plus?
Yeah, it's a great point too, Justin. And the cool thing with like this next, let's say, five games-ish, So you got San Antonio on Wednesday. Then you go to Orlando, but then you come back 5 days later to face Orlando. You and I have talked about, mostly you, is like, we need to get that offense. This offense kind of needs to get back on track. So that's another little earmark you can put on the schedule, is like, what does the offense look like against one of the best defenses in the NBA? We saw what they looked like against Oklahoma City most recently. I know they played Orlando a few nights prior in the knockout round of the NBA Cup, but that game was a back-and-forth slugfest defensively. Both teams not really giving away much. I forgot what the final score of that one was, but it was, I remember it not being, okay, 114-109, so it was a little bit higher than I thought. But that's going to be one to that two games against Orlando, the 10th and the 15th of January, one's away, one's home, to see where this offense is. Now, I don't think it'd be unfair to be like, well, today's January 6th. You got 4 days, and I want to see the offense, you know, look sharp against one of the best defenses. I don't think that's a realistic viewpoint, but I'm just curious, because I think at this point in the schedule, at least for me personally, Justin, it's kind of feeling things out. And I know Saturday I was a little angry, but kind of feeling things out to the All-Star break, and then that's kind of when things start to kind of get serious. Obviously, you don't want to dig a hole. You don't want to fall into that trap again. You want to kind of build some of these wins. But you also, I love being able to watch these matchups against playoff contenders, right? San Antonio is contending for the playoffs. Orlando's going to be in the playoffs. New York's going to be in the playoffs. Philadelphia, you got later in the month, could, you know, find their way if they get right. Miami's in there too. So it's a good opportunity for a team that's, I think we've identified that their identity is more so right now on defense, but like we saw tonight, has the opportunity to kind of flip that switch, you know, and get things rolling offensively. And what better way to kind of measure yourself up, you know, a handful of months before the playoffs with, you know, a few playoff teams in Orlando and New York in the next week or so.
Yeah, Philadelphia right now, just a game back of the Bulls in the loss column for the last spot in the play-in
tournament.
They'll
sneak in. They'll get in. They're too talented not to, I think. Personally,
as long as they're healthy, then yeah, that's certainly on the table. But if they continue to deal with injuries, and Joel Embiid, I don't think, is going to play back to backs. Same for Paul George. Like those are going to start to pile up. And I think it's interesting to, well, let's save this to go into the next segment. I mentioned there was some reporting that was coming out earlier today, and I have seen a lot of Bucks fans rushing to the trade machine to craft their deals, or posting on message boards and asking questions of, well, wait, can we do this? Can they actually make this type of a trade? So let's dig into what the second apron means, because I believe the trade deadline is February 6th, so we are a month out. What does the second apron actually mean for the Bucks? We'll dig into it next. All right, on the night the Bucks beat the Raptors by 24 points, Dame with 15 in the third quarter didn't miss a shot. Giannis with a triple-double. And everybody, all 14 players that saw the floor scored tonight. We shift our attention to some trade murmurs that are out there. So John Gambadaro, who is a very well-sourced radio host in Phoenix, was saying there are two teams that are kicking the tires on Jimmy Butler and engaged in discussions with the Miami Heat. One of those two teams plays in this city. The Memphis Grizzlies was the other one. So I don't know what that trade, if it were to actually happen, would entail. But I think it's important to point out a couple of things. As of this moment, the Bucks are a second apron team. And what that means, none of these next first few bullet points matter because the time has already passed. But when you're a second apron team, you can't use your taxpayer mid-level exception. So about a $5 to $6 million contract. You can't do that. It's only veteran minimums that you can add out. You cannot send out cash in a trade. You'll see teams do that from time to time to buy draft picks and so on. So you can't do that. You can't acquire a player using the taxpayer mid-level exception. That was one of the updates to the CBA a couple of years ago, where if you didn't use it in the offseason, you could say, well, we're not going to send out salary of $5 to $6 million, but instead we'll use our taxpayer mid-level to accept that salary. You can't do that. if you're a second apron team. And most importantly, you cannot aggregate two or more contracts in a trade. There is an asterisk applied to that last one. So basically, when you're a second apron team, all you can do is re-sign your own players, sign your draft picks, sign veteran minimum players, and that's it. You can't engage in the buyout market either. And that's the other thing. I think it's like a dog chasing its tail with the buyout market that every year we wonder, man, who's going to be the best player that comes out of it? They're typically ineffective players. They're being bought out for a reason. Like Marvin Williams did a great job for the Bucks. That was a rarity. So your options are very limited. Now, I said there is an asterisk applied to that you cannot aggregate contracts. So I have this confirmed by Bobby Marks of ESPN I was talking with. You can actually combine contracts so long as that deal takes you under the second apron. So in other words, the Bucks, I believe, would need to clear, I don't have it up, but I think it's around $7 million to get under the second apron. You could piece together two contracts and bring in one player, but whatever you bring back has to be $7 million or whatever that figure is less than what you're sending out so you get below the second apron. Because once you aggregate or do that, then it triggers the second apron and you cannot exceed that figure. So you'll hear a lot of, well, the Bucks can't combine salaries. Yes and no. By the letter of the law, no. But you can do it if it takes you under that threshold. Now, where I think there's a lot of spinning our wheels and trying to craft what trade could you make to bring in Jimmy Butler and piecing together contracts, there are two things to keep in mind. I mean, first and foremost, this is not a video game. Like some of the trades that I see put together every single year, why would the other team accept that trade? Like, I get that you want to get rid of these assets and you found a way to make it work by the numbers, but ask yourself why that other team is taking that back. And secondly, what they did with the new CBA, when we're talking about second aprons and first aprons and everything that's been triggered with sign and trades, and if you use a mid-level exception, that triggers you at the first apron, which means you can't go above that threshold. So you'll look at other teams and say, well, I can make a trade with them. Well, you can't, because you're trying to get off of some money. They can't go above that. So it's basically half the league, if not more, that is impacted in some way, shape, or form like that, which is going to make it incredibly challenging to see a lot of trades done at this deadline. That I really think what you're going to see is moves like, you know, what the Bucks made last year to bring in Pat Beverly, like those types of moves. Don't expect, I'm not just saying for the Bucks, I'm saying league-wide. I wouldn't expect anything major because of how many teams are impacted either by the first apron or the second apron, that they cannot exceed that. That this CBA has done a couple of things. It has made making trades incredibly difficult. And Brian Windhorst of ESPN would always say, look, if you have you have to have a three-team trade, it means you don't have a trade. I think that's changed now because, you know, I'm taking the Bucks out of it. Jimmy Butler with the seven-game suspension, you get the sense he's going to be traded as early as this week. I just don't see a fit of a one-team and one-team trade. Like, you can find teams where he makes sense, but you're going up against some of those same things that we discussed. Like, let's take the Bucks. The way that their contracts are structured, they are very top-heavy with their salaries, and they have a lot of minimums. They don't have those mid-levels. Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton is it. I don't think if the Miami Heat are willing and saying, we're moving off from Jimmy Butler, I don't think the Miami Heat are saying, you know what we do want? Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton. So I would remove that. The other thing to keep in mind, I'm not suggesting you would trade Damian Lillard for Jimmy Butler, but Jimmy Butler technically makes more money than Damian Lillard. And again, a one-for-one trade wouldn't work because you cannot take back a dollar more. They're both making $48 million plus, but Jimmy Butler is making more dollars. I think it's about $13,000 more than Damian Lillard. So you can't do a one-for-one there. And there's a number of teams that are like this. You're going to hear the Denver Nuggets kicked around quite a bit of, well, send Jimmy Butler to Denver. He'd make sense playing next to Nikola Jokic. Their contract structure is basically the same as the Bucks, where you got Jokic making a lot, you got Jamal Murray making a lot, you got Aaron Gordon making pretty significant money, Michael Porter Jr., and then it's all minimums. So every single team you would look at and say, well, Jimmy Butler would make sense here, it doesn't work in a two-team trade, which opens the door for a three-team trade. And when you do that, there's just so many variables that deals fall apart or who's going where and who else is getting involved that it's my biggest gripe with this new CBA is, number one, you have effectively killed the middle-tier contracts. That you have Gary Trent Jr. is making a veteran minimum. And look, part of that is he chose to decline his option with the Toronto Raptors. But Gary Trent Jr. making a veteran minimum. Malik Beasley was making a veteran minimum last year, and he doubled his salary this year. But once you go down to that minimum level, history suggests you don't really rise up. Like, you'll get your 120% raise. You don't really rise beyond that. Like, you're basically saying, okay, this is where I'm at contract-wise. And this new CBA has basically eliminated those mid-level exception type of contracts, and it's also made it very, very challenging to make trades. So I think the point of it is development is more important than ever. Like, you better draft and develop, and it's what makes those assets all the more important. And I think that's why they triggered things like freezing your draft pick 7 years out if you're in the second apron into this as well, to say, look, the only way out of this is through it. Like, you better get out of that second apron, draft well, and develop those players, because that's the league that we're headed towards. So I would imagine we'll start to hear some more rumblings in these next couple of days. And look, it doesn't surprise me when you see the Bucks linked to any of these names, because any general manager is going to do that and say, hey, I see this guy's available. What are you looking for? Doesn't mean you're going to make a trade with him. You just want, all right, what's the market? Let's kick the tires on this. Let's see if we can come to an agreement. Oh, we can't. It's the same thing the Bucks did with Damian Lillard, as that was documented of, all right, let us know before you do anything. We'd be interested. And none of us thought the Bucks were going to trade for Damian Lillard, and yet they did. So I would imagine you're going to hear more sourced reporting in these next couple of days, because it really seems like it's going to be any day now that Jimmy Butler's days in Miami are done. Don't be surprised that you see the Bucks pop up in the teams that are linked to him or interested in him, but I would not assume that means the Bucks are going to trade for him for everything that we just pointed out, for all those reasons. We will take a closer look at the San Antonio Spurs and wrap up the show after this. 24-point win tonight in Toronto. The Bucks beat the Raptors. I mentioned last time the Spurs came to town, that's who the Bucks will face next. Last time the Spurs came to town, Victor Wembanyama did not play in that game. It was December 19th. You did have Giannis. You did not have Wemby. Giannis, ironically enough, 11 points that he scored at a triple-double in that game. But it was the game in San Antonio, which was roughly 2 weeks later, that we got the Giannis versus Wemby showdown. 44 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists, and a block for Giannis. Victor Wembanyama finished with 27 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 blocked shots. He had that moment under the basket where he blocked Giannis as well. So I think there's a lot of excitement and hype coming into this one on Wednesday night. And as you know, we just went through this, the week that the Bucks have in front of them. I think the most important game is Sunday in New York, but this is the game that I am probably most excited to see, especially the way that Victor Wembanyama is playing this season.
I'm sorry, I muted my mic. I just think it's a great opportunity for this team to see if they can bounce back and kind of carry over, you know, exactly the things that they did tonight.
Yeah.
And for the Spurs, I mean, they lost their last two games. So the Bulls, they lost to the Bulls, they lost to the Nuggets. They're 2-3 in their last five. So it's a good opportunity for this Bucks team to kind of continue the trend that they started tonight and hope that continues. It's only one game tonight, but very encouraged by the type of game that I saw. It wasn't that they just shot the lights out tonight. It was the energy on both ends of the floor from everybody. And when your best player only scores 11 points and you win by 24, I don't care what team you are, that's a good win. So let's hope it carries over Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, make note of the tip time, 8:30 6:30 tip-off Wednesday night from Fiserv Forum. It's the Bucks and the San Antonio Spurs. We'll see if the Bucks can make it two in a row and carry over some of that consistency, especially the shooting from Damian Lillard, who, again, was shooting 30%, low 30% on both field goal attempts and threes since returning from that injury and illness. Terrific night tonight. Perfect 5 of 5 in the third quarter, so you hope that carries over as well. Wednesday night, 8:30 tip for the Bucks and the Spurs. 8 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.